I will say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is nothing short of overwhelming to see such an incredible olam of people here ready and energized and excited to learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's story. I really feel like in this moment we could say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shechiyanu V'kimanu V'giyanu L'zman Hazeh, but also Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam She'asa Lanu Neis B'makom Hazeh. But look, I know how I'm feeling in this moment, and I can only imagine how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is feeling in this moment. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at your children. Some of you are here willingly. Some of you I harassed the kishkas out of. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. At the end of the day, we're all here. We're all here. And we're all here for one simple reason. Because we want to learn the Ribono Shel Olam's Torah. Because we want to go on this incredible journey of Torah Shebaal Peh. For those of us who were privileged to celebrate at last night's Siyum, an incredible thank you again to Rabbi Yehuda Neuberger for putting together the mother of all Siyum. An evening that was just exceptional, uplifting, inspiring, beruchnius ubegashmius. And I think for many of us, it gave us the chizuk to begin again today. To the veterans who are back for the second cycle, or maybe it's more than your second cycle, welcome back. It was a schus to learn with you last time, and it's going to be a schus to learn with you this time. To our newer members of the daf, baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Welcome to what's going to become the most incredible hour of your day, every single day. To learn Gemara together, to learn HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah together, is nothing short of miraculous and beautiful, and I feel privileged that you're choosing to do it here. For those of you who told me, I'm just coming for today, I just want to tell you, famous last words. Famous last words. You can see there are plenty of people who said they're just coming for today. And we danced together last night after 7.5 years. But whether you're here for today, or whether you're going to be Emirat Hashem in the in person shir, or picking it up on the podcast or on the website, whatever it is, the ikar is that you find a way to grow, like we spoke about last night. The ikar is that you find a way to reclaim your identity that is engraved on the celestial throne. The ikar is that we each strive to become the best version of ourselves. So baruch haba, shechiyonu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh, baruch she'asa lanu neis b'makom hazeh. I want to thank all of you just for being here. We will figure out what to do. I'm not sure whether it's here. We'll figure it out. Ari's on this, and he will not rest until we have a solution.
I'm sorry, you
can speak to Menachem about the building. We are accepting pledges. He has his triangle on his phone. He'll be happy to swipe right afterwards. That was with that. Let us begin. I want to just begin actually by thanking the sponsors. We have a number of sponsors for this morning's shir. Our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Teves, Shirley Elbaum, together with Avron, Sean, and Judah Elbaum and their families, in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, in commemoration of his 10th yard site. The Elbaum Mishpacha has sponsored and dedicated all of the shiurim and drashos of this month. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Jerry's neshama will have an aliyah and the family a nechama.
Amen.
We also thank Baruch Fisher Kozlovsky for going ahead and dedicating the shiur this morning in honor of Zev Ben Moshe Rubinstein, Magid Shir Tafyomi at Inyamin Moshe, for imparting his knowledge to me, as well as my host, Akiva Andrews, over 4 weeks that he was blessed to be in Yerushalayim. Just completed a Dafyomi cycle as well. May Zev continue to learn and teach Dafyomi ad me'ev ve'esim shanim tovos. And of course, a thank you again to Akiva Andrews, who hosted Baruch Fishel during those days in Yerushalayim as well. Additionally, may the learning of the first half of Brachos provide an aliyah for the neshama of Binyamin ben Shimshon, zichrono levracha. Yashagach, thank you for the sponsorship. Two additional sponsorships. I'm sorry. to thank you to Robert Lilienfeld, who has dedicated an entire week of learning this week in memory of his mother, Madeline Lilienfeld. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah. And another special dedication this morning to Rabbi Larry and Flo Ziffer in honor of their 45th wedding anniversary. Mazel tov. Most that people don't know this, the daf is an incredible anniversary present, right? It's good for birthdays, anniversaries, any occasion. A daf yomi sponsorship is the gift that keeps on giving. So mamish, thank you, Rabbi Ziffer. Mazel tov and meyav ve'esim shanim tovos. So bosai, Bosai, with that, let us begin the first Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. So the Mishnah begins, Bosai, as follows. At what point in time do we begin to say Kriya Shema at night? Again, the Mishnah Gemara is going to discuss why exactly the Gemara chooses to start with this idea of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. But at what point in time do we begin to say the Kriya Shema at night? So the Gemara says, Misha Shakahanim Nichnasan Lechol B'Trumasan Atzof HaAshmora HaRishona Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara, also remember again, the Mishnah's understanding over here as follows. As much as the Shaila of the Mishnah is, what time do we begin to say Shema? What the Mishnah wants to try to explore is, what time do we begin to say Shema? And at what point in time does the Zman for Kriya Shema end? So the first opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says, from the time that the Kohanim go in to eat their Truma, until the end of the first watch. What does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Me'imasai koron shema ba'avim yishashakam nechasan lachob b'chumasan. Kwanam shenitmu'u v'tavlu v'heriv shemashan v'egia itam lechob b'chuma. So we'll say, remember again, if a coin became tamei, so there are different forms of ritual impurity, different forms of tumah. But very often, if a coin becomes tamei, what ends up happening is he goes to the mikvah. He can go to the mikvah by day, but nevertheless, he has to wait until nightfall, tzeisa kochavim, before going ahead and partaking of truma. So you will say, to those of us who are Messiah in Nida, you thought that our Zav days were behind us. Good news, right? It's Zav everywhere. Zav everywhere. I would say, so for example, it didn't come out. It sounded different. It sounded different in my head than when it came out of my mouth. So let's say, so just so you understand, was for a simple example, a coin becomes a Zav, he goes to the mikvah by day, but ultimately again requires Her of Shemesh. Now what is Her of Shemesh? We're saying is literally the setting of the sun, but on a technical level, as we're going to see, Halacha L'maisa, if a coin becomes Tameh, he's not permitted to eat Truma. He has to go to the mikvah, and really has to wait until Tzeis HaKochavim, has to wait until nightfall, in order to begin again to consume Truma. So therefore, Eliezer says, the Zman of nighttime Shema begins at Tzeis HaKochavim, from the time that Kohanim could go in and begin to eat Truma. And Rabbi Eliezer also gives the ending time. What's the ending time? At Sof HaAshmura HaRishona, until the end of the first watch. So we will see exactly what the first watch means. We're going to see that the nighttime is divided up into a variety of different segments. So until the end of the first watch, we'll define the Gemara. What I will point out over here is something amazing. If you look at Rashi for just a moment. At Sof HaAshmura HaRishona, Rashi says, Shlish HaLayla Kiti Mefarish B'Gemara. It's the first third of the night. U'misham Ve'ilech Avar Zman. Delo Mikri Su Zman Shchiva. V'lo Karinan Be'i B'shach Becha. U'mikameh Hachi Nami Lav Zman Shchiva. Leficha kori kodem lachin lo yastich vasan. Now, also remember again, very quickly. So we know that the Torah gives us a time for Shema. What's the Torah's time for Shema? B'shach b'cha or b'kumecha. You say Shema when you go to sleep and when you get up. So everyone, all of these different opinions are bound by that biblical construct. The machlokas, the discussions we're going to see is how to define those words. So for example, Rabbi Eliezer says, people really don't go to sleep before when? Before when? Before Tzeis HaKochavim. Therefore, again, it's not B'shach B'cha. You can't say the nighttime Shema until people go ahead and go to sleep. Now, we'll discuss where the ending time at one-third of the night comes from. We'll get to that. But L'maisa, that's the idea of Rabbi Eliezer. People begin to go to sleep at Tzeis HaKochavim at nightfall. That's B'shach B'cha, when you go to sleep. That's the beginning time for nighttime Shema. Now, I both say, Rashi HaKadosh over here brings up something amazing. This is actually, you know, we were starting, Emir Hashem, a new lunch and learn tomorrow at 12:15 at the bistro, followed by Mincha at 1 o'clock, where we're also going to get into some sugyas. So you can speak to Jeremy Lassen, third row, from these rows over here, last guy on the row. Jeremy, just raise your hand. Good. That's Jeremy. So again, any shaylos about that, about Lashon, you could see Jeremy. We're going to be discussing some sugyas from the daf. We're actually going to touch on this particular sugya because it's quite fascinating and riveting. But look at Rashi over here. Rashi says something amazing. Im kein, lama korin osa bebe sakneses. So Rashi over here brings up, Rabosei, perhaps one of the most fascinating initial discussions, which is, here we're saying that the beginning time for Shema says al kochavim. You can't really say the nighttime Shema before nightfall. Why not? Because the nighttime Shema can only be recited b'shach b'cha, when you go to sleep. Rabosei, historically, when were people davening Ma'ariv? When were people davening Ma'ariv? After, really, so remember again, like what we do today in shul is we didn't invent this model, right? This has been the model in Klal Yisrael again for generations, which is you daven mincha before shkia, you daven mincha before sunset, and you daven ma'ariv afterwards. As we're going to see, seisa kochavim is sometime after sunset. But one thing is clear is, it's not immediately after sunset. So Rashi says over here, we're learning over here that you can't say Shema until, or you should not say Shema until Tesa Kochavim, nightfall. Because that's B'shach B'cha. Yet in Shul says Rashi, Rashi says, however, in Shul, we go ahead and we recite the nighttime Shema immediately after Shkia. We're davening Ma'ariv after Shkia. So Rashi says, what's going on over here? Listen to what Rashi says. He says, Im kein lama korin osa v'saknesas, kedei la'amod b'tfila mitoch divrei Torah. So Rashi says something amazing. When we say Shema in Shul as part of Ma'ariv, that is not nighttime Shema. That is not Kriya Shema Shal Arvis. What is that called? That's called learning. It's called Torah, learning Torah. And what do? We don't just want to get up and say Shemona Esrei. It's always good to have a little bit of a lead into Shemona Esrei. So we say Shema before Shemona Esrei by Ma'ariv, but that's not Kriya Shema Shal Arvis. Even though what we're davening is Ma'ariv, that's not Kriya Shema Shal Arvis. Why isn't it Kriya Shema Shal Arvis? Why not? Because it's before Tzeisa Kochavim. So this is incredible. V'hachi Tanya B'braisa Brachas Yerushalmi. U'lefichach, therefore Rashi says, Chova Aleinu Likrosa Mishatechshach. Therefore Rashi says, that is why we repeat Kriya Shema again after nightfall. And Rashi says something amazing. You have to repeat Shema. Maish and I were just speaking about this yesterday. You have to repeat Shema again after nightfall, after Tzeisach Kochavim. But Rashi says something amazing. All you have to repeat is what? The first paragraph of Shema. And they both say, again, we're not going to get into it now. Tosis takes incredible issue with this Rashi. Tosis says, no, it's not true. The Kriya Shema that we see as part of Ma'ariv ultimately, again, is the real Kriya Shema Shal Arvis. And again, Tosis actually holds that halacha lemaisa, you don't have to repeat Kriya Shema later on in the night. Again, we'll come back to this sugya a little bit later on in the Masechta. But again, I just want to point out over here the important construct to remember. I'll say one of the things we're going to try to do along this cycle is, first of all, Meretz Hashem, we'll be putting together review sheets. So Meretz Hashem, everyone loves getting WhatsApp messages. And I don't want anyone ever to feel left out or feel neglected. So we're going to be putting out certain chazara tools just to be able to retain certain ideas. So there are certain concepts you just have to keep in mind. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is governed by the biblical concept of B'shach B'cha. You say Shema at night when it's a time to go to sleep. Rabbi Leah says the time to go to sleep, the beginning of that time, is Tzeisa Kochavim. Rashi says we're saying Shema of Ma'ariv before Tzeisa Kochavim. So what's happening over here? To which Rashi says, you're right, it's not Shema, that's called Divrei Torah, learning. Therefore, you have to repeat Shema, says Rashi, after Tzeisa Kochavim. But then Rashi says something amazing, which is what? Only the first paragraph. Only the first paragraph has to be repeated, the rest doesn't. Fine, back to the Mishnah. The Chum say Ad Chatzos. So we'll say the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Eliezer's end time, but not on his start time. The Chachamim also agree that the beginning time for Shema is ultimately, again, from the time that the Kohanim go in to eat their Truma after having gone to the Mikvah, right? And waiting for nightfall, after Tzeisa Kochavim, they can begin to eat Truma. That's a time that you can begin to say Shema. Chachamim agree with that. The Chachamim, however, disagree with Rabbi Eliezer in terms of the end time. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says that you could save the nighttime Shema until the end of the first third of the night, whatever that means, right? The Chachamim hold until Chatzos. Midnight is the end. Rabbi Gamliel disagrees also. He says, Ad Shi'al Amud HaShachar. No. In fact, again, you could recite Kriya Shema Shal Arvis until when? Until Alos HaShachar. Dawn. We'll say we're going to discuss in depth all of these different times. Like, what's dawn? What's the Ashmur HaRishona? What's Alot? We'll get into all of this. We'll say a story. One time, Rabbi Gamliel's children came home late from a chasana, from a wedding. Amru lo lo karinu eshma. They said, Father, we didn't yet say Shema. And Rabbi said, now the story over here is they're coming home when? After chatzos. They're coming home after midnight. They say, we didn't say Shema. Amru lo, we said to them, don't worry about it. Im lo ala amud ha-shachar, chayovin atem likros. As long as the dawn has not yet dawned, or as long as it's not yet dawn, you still have an obligation to go ahead and say Kriya Shema. So both say Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara, you're going to see why the Gemara is adding in this story. This is Rabbi Gamliel's shita, right? His position is that you could say Shema beginning Tzeis HaKochavim, nightfall, up until Alos HaShachar, up until dawn. Both say we're going to see the definition of dawn itself is also subject to dispute. According to most opinions, dawn is 72 minutes before sunrise. As we're going to, this is the position of the Rambam, who holds that dawn is 90 minutes before sunrise. Again, we're going to get into a lot of exciting sugyas ahead of us. Rabbi Gamliel says, don't worry. I know you're home after chatzos, after midnight. Not a problem. You have until dawn to recite Shema. For lozu bilvad amru, Rabbi Gamliel said to his kids, not only that, elokomash amru chachomim ad chatzos. Whenever the rabbis say that you can go ahead and perform a mitzvah until midnight, midnight never means midnight. What does midnight mean? Mitzvasan ad shir amud ha-shachar. The mitzvah, whenever Chazal say until chatzos really means ultimately again until dawn. For example, Hector chalovim ve'ivarim, mitzvasan ad shir amud ha-shachar. Now, boss, we're going to see exactly what to do with this phrase, because the truth is, Hector chalovim ve'ivarim means as follows. Anytime you offered up a carbon during the day, by definition, there were leftover limbs and fats. Those limbs and fats were burned on the Mizbeach throughout the night. How long do you have to burn the limbs and the fats? Ultimately, again, until Alos HaShachar. Now, what that phrase is doing there, we're going to see in the Gemara. Similarly, you have kabanos. We'll see that there are certain kabanos. Rashi says, kigon chatos va'asham. For example, a chatos, we'll say, can be eaten for one day and the following night. So let's say I offer up my chatas on a Sunday. I could eat the chatas the whole day Sunday and the entire Sunday night. Until when? Ad shiya'ala amud ha-shachar. Ultimately, again, until dawn. So let's say Rabbi Gamliel says that in general, whenever something is kosher for the night time, it's kosher for the entire night until the following dawn. I imkein lama amru chachamim ad chatzos. If that's the case, that really you could say, going back to Kriya Shema for just a moment, if that's the case, that you could really say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis until dawn, so then why did the Chachamim say until Chatzos? Very simple. Kedei laharchik adam min ha'avera. We both say human nature is such that what? We always push the envelope. We always push the envelope. So therefore, if you tell people that they could say Kriya Shema until dawn, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to wait until dawn. So what do you do instead? So you go out and you say, you have until chatzos. Have until chatzos. So what does that do? That hopefully encourages a certain level of vigilance until chatzos. And ultimately, try to do it until chatzos. But if for some reason you miss until chatzos, ultimately what? You have until Alos dawn the next day. So both say, so to chazer the Mishnah, here's what we have. It appears that everyone is agreeing with the start time of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. What's the start time of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? The beginning? Tzeis HaKochavim, right? What the Mishnah calls, Mishash HaKohanim Nichnasan L'Achol B'Trumasan. So everyone is agreeing, B'Shach B'cha, you can begin to say nighttime Shema when you go to sleep, the beginning of that time is Tzeis HaKochavim. The Machlokis seems to be surrounding the end time for Shema. Rabbi Eliezer telling us until the end of the first watch, Ashmar Rishona, we'll see what that means. Chachamim telling me until Chatzos, Rabbi Gamliel telling me until Alos HaShachar. But it turns out that what Rabbi Gamliel is saying is like this. I'm not really a third shita. I'm not a third shita. What am I? I'm a modifier of the second one. That when the Chachamim said until Chatzos, they didn't really mean until midnight. What did they mean? What did they mean? Ultimately, again, until Alos HaShachar. They meant until dawn, but rather said we shouldn't push the envelope. Ultimately, again, they went ahead and they pushed it. Which I will say, tells us an incredible level of human nature. The need to create gedarim for oneself, the need to create protective boundaries in our own spirituality, the nature of man is always to walk the line. So therefore, successful living requires me to move the line. If the line is drawn between right and wrong, inevitably, I will go ahead and fall on the wrong side of that. That's why there's a need to create personal boundaries. Move back the line into the realm of that which is permitted. Therefore, even if I end up falling on the wrong side of the line, I'm still a Mirat Hashem. Okay. We'll say Gimara. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah ends off, the Mishnah begins by saying Me'emasai. Me'emasai means what? Me'emasai means from when. So the Gemara says, from when presupposes that you've already established an obligation for reciting Shema at night. Right? So meaning, the normative progression of a conversation would be, establish the obligation to say Shema at night, then get into the details. Amongst the details is, when? So where are you coming off of, says the Gemara, that you're asking Me'emasai, from when? So the Gemara says, Me'emasai v'su, Ma'ishno detani ba'arvis reisha, listening to Shachris Bereisha. We'll say furthermore, why is Maseches Brachos beginning with a conversation about the nighttime Shema? Wouldn't it be better to begin with a conversation of what? The morning Shema, the daytime Shema. To which the Gemara says the answer to both these questions are the same. The concept of reciting Shema itself is a pasuk. Tana Akrai Kani, Kai, the Tana, the author of our Mishnah, is basing himself on a pasuk. Tichsev, B'shach B'cha Uvekumecha. The pasuk says when you awaken, when you go to sleep and when you awaken. V'achi katani. Shavuot said the pasuk itself begins with what? The pasuk itself begins b'shach b'cha. Meaning the subject of the pasuk of Kriyas Shema begins with the nighttime Shema. So therefore the Gemara simply says, all the Mishnah is doing is what? Is parroting the verse. Right? The verse begins b'shach b'cha, nighttime Shema, u'bikumecha, morning Shema. So therefore subject-wise, we're beginning with Kriyas Shema shel Arvis. V'achi katani. And ultimately, again, this is what the Mishnah means. Zman Kriyas Shema d'shchiva emas. When is the time for the nighttime Shema? Mishah shakam mechasel chabit shumasan. So we'll say ultimately again, therefore, the Gemara says like this. We establish the obligation for nighttime Shema from a pasuk. Bishach b'cha uvekumecha. And we begin with Meiriv. Why? Because ultimately, again, that's what the verse says first. Now that we've established, A, that there's an obligation of nighttime Shema, and B, we're going to start with that one first because it's mentioned first in the pasuk. Then the Mishnah says, by the way, what time can you begin to recite the nighttime Shema? To which the Gemara says, Misha shekohanim nechnasen leachol b'tshumas. And Viva Yisema, Yalef Rebbe Yasa Shalom. Well, see, the other possibility is, why does the Mishnah begin ultimately again with the discussion of nighttime Shema before daytime Shema? We're modeling the creation of the world. Dechsev, Vayarev, Vayvoker, Yom Echad. Both said the pasuk when speaking about creation speaks about nighttime before daytime. So too when talking about our obligation of Shema, we begin with nighttime before daytime. So the Gemara says, Ihaki, if that's the case, Seva Dikner, both say, what about the next Mishnah? Right? What about the next Mishnah that ultimately says as follows, B'shachar mevarech shtayim lefanel, v'achas lacharel. Be'erev mevarech shtayim lefanel, shtayim lacharel. Listni da'arvis b'reisha. We'll say, here's the problem. The next Mishnah we're going to see, coming attractions, is going to talk about the brachos of Kriyas Shema. Right? The brachos we recite before and after Shema. And that Mishnah says that in the morning, we say two brachos before Shema, one bracha after Shema. And in the evening, we recite two brachos before Shema and two brachos after Shema. But according to what you just said, the order is out of sync. What should be mentioned first in the Mishnah? Nighttime Shema. So we'll see, it's so interesting enough, you're telling me, our Mishnah begins with a discussion of Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis, because A, B'shach b'cha u'v'kumecha. The pasuk by Shema puts nighttime Shema first. Furthermore, Mibriyaso shel Olam, creation of the world, Vayer Vayvoker. Mayriv, right? Nighttime always comes before day. Yet the next Mishnah speaks about Birchos Kriyas Shema, discusses what? The brachos of the morning Shema before the brachos of the nighttime Shema. So what's happening? To which the Gemara is very simple. Tana pasach ba'arvis v'hadar tani b'shachris, adukai b'shachris, parish mili d'shachris, v'hadar parish mili d'arvis. To which the Gemara says, Rabosai, there is a certain textual symmetry. The textual symmetry is like this. We open up with a discussion of the nighttime Shema. Then ultimately, again, we speak about the daytime Shema. Once we're speaking about the daytime Shema, we do what? We finish out that discussion. So both says we're going to see the order of the Mishnayos is like this. Nighttime Shema, then a discussion of daytime Shema. Then when the Mishnah transitions into a discussion of Birchos Kriyas Shema, we pick up with the subject in which we are currently immersed. Since we're discussing daytime Shema, let's talk about the brachos of daytime Shema, and then only afterwards revert back to the brachos of nighttime Shema. So we'll say essentially the model is A, B, B, A. Right? That's how the system goes. Start with Arvis, go to Shachris. Once you're in Shachris, finish out the discussion of Shachris, and then go back ultimately again and conclude Arvis. Incredible. Amar Mar. So we'll say, let's now delve into this a little bit. Amar Mar. Mishar Shakam Nechasel Chobitrumasim. So we'll say, remember again, so the Mishnah says, from the time that the Kohanim, when can you begin to say Shema? From the time that the Kohanim, go ahead, go into each Truma. Michti. Kohanim Emas Ka'afli Truma. So we'll say, so this is very interesting, because remember, Baruch Hashem, we have Rashi. Right? So we'll say, everything to yourself, what did Rashi do? Right? Yeah. What did Rashi do without Rashi? And we'll say, so we have the incredible gift of learning a sugya, and Rashi fills in all of the blanks. But imagine looking at this Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells you, from what time can you recite Shema in the evening? From the time that the Kohanim go in to eat their Truma. Okay, so the Gemara says, Michti, Kohanim emas kachli Truma. By the way, when do Kohanim go in to eat Truma? Right? If a Kohen was Tamei, went to the mikvah by day. For example, we'll say if the coin was a zav, that's just the easiest example. Coin was a zav, right? So he goes ahead, he goes to the mikvah by day, goes and eats the truma at night. What time at night could he eat truma? So the Gemara says, Seis HaKochavim. It's Seis, nightfall. And Rabbi will say, I just want to point out, we have not defined what Seis HaKochavim is. When is Seis? So again, we'll get into this sugya as well. So the simple answer is, pretty much from the time that the sun sets, it becomes like the wild west of halacha, right? All different opinions as to when is Seis HaKochavim, what's Shkia, what's Bein HaShemeshos, all different. So we'll get into all of this. But for right now, we'll just use the concept of nightfall, which we'll just simply define as the appearance of three stars. That's how we'll look at this for now. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Listening to Seis HaKochavim. Tirsh the Gemara says, so could we just make this a little bit easier? Why don't you just say Seis HaKochavim? It hurts. Why don't you just say in the Mishnah, what time can you recite nighttime Shema as of? What time? Seis HaKochavim. Why don't you just keep it easy? Why do you have to start with the time the Kohanim go into each Shema? Tushit Gemara says, Milsa Agav Archei Kamash Milon De Kohanim Emas Ka'achli with Shema, Misha Seis HaKochavim. Shabbos say, ultimately, again, the Mishnah often does this, where the Mishnah kind of wants to teach you multiple concepts within one statement. So the idea over here is, Shabbos say, the Mishnah is giving me a twofer, right? Number one, that when do Kohanim go in to eat Truma? After they were Tamei, when could they go in? Seis HaKochavim. And by the way, that's also the same time for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So the Mishnah actually in one statement is teaching me two halachos. That a Kohen who is Tamei, who went to the mikvah by day, could begin to go ahead and eat Truma as of Seis, as of nightfall. And Seis HaKochavim is also the beginning time in which you're permitted to go ahead and recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Incredible. So the Gemara says, V'hakamash molam tekapar lo ma'akva. And there's another thing that it's teaching us, Rabbi saying. Remember, there are certain times where a coin becomes tame, and going to the mikvah and nightfall is only part of his process. But he still requires what? Kapara. Atonement. Atonement specifically means what? The bringing of a carbon. So we'll say the easiest example of this would be, let's say, a matzora, right? So a kohen who was a matzora, a tzaras, ultimately, again, would go to the mikvah, would require Seis HaKochavim to go and eat truma, and halacha lemaisa, he would still be obligated to go ahead and bring a carbon afterwards. So what it tells us, the Mishnah also says, is that halacha lemaisa, you don't need to bring your carbon, if you're a kohen, before eating truma. So the Gemara says, V'akamash on the kabar lama akva, kidisanyo, we learned this in a braisa. This is incredible. Uba shemesh vitaher. So the pasuk says literally again, the sun will set vitaher. Now, we'll say, the Gemara understands this pasuk. See, when you and I would read this pasuk, we would assume that, what is the pasuk saying? The sun goes down, vitaher. Vitaher means what? Who's tar? The kohen. Amazing, that's not how the Gemara initially, that's going to be the understanding later on, but the initial understanding of that pasuk is something dramatically different. Listen to this. So the Gemara says, Uba shemesh vitaher. What does that mean? Bias shemasha ma'akvaso mileacho b'truma. It is only the setting of the sun that prevents a coin from eating the truma after he's been tamei. Ve'in kaparaso ma'akvaso mileacho b'truma. But the bringing of his carbon, ultimately again, does not prevent him from going ahead and eating his truma. So the way the Gemara is understanding the pasuk right now is as follows. Uba shemesh, the sun will set, vitaher, and the day is totally done. So we'll say, vitaher, the Gemara's understanding to mean, like the day is clean, it's cleansed of day. It is no longer day, it's nightfall. Once that occurs, then a Kohen who was Tamei, who went to the mikvah by day, is permitted to go ahead and eat Truma. Even though he has an outstanding karbanic obligation on his shoulders, the fact that he did not yet bring his karban does not prevent him from eating Truma that night. Which the Gemara says, Umimai, Tahayu ba Hashemesh bias Hashemesh, Vahay Taher Taher Yoma. How do you know that Uba Hashemesh means the sun is setting, and Taher means the day is totally done, that it's now nightfall? Amad Beis are both saying, Amad Beis. Dilma bias orahu. So both say maybe it means as follows. Maybe Allah Khalamaiso Ba Shemesh means the sun is coming up. Not the sun is going down, the sun is coming up. And maybe ultimately what it's saying is the morning after the Kohen goes to the mikvah, he is permitted to go out and consume truma. Umay betaher, what does tahar mean? Maybe tar gafra. So we'll say, maybe what it's saying is like this. Ba Shemesh, if a Kohen becomes tamei, what does he have to do? He has to go to the mikvah. He has to wait for sunrise of the following day. He has to bring his karban. And only then is he permitted to go and eat truma. To which the Gemara says, Am Rabbah Rav Shila, I'll tell you why. Im kein, le makra v'yitar. If that's the case, then the pasuk should have said, v'yitar. Ultimately, again, he will become tamei. Look at Rashi. Im kein, dehaikra v'taher lashon sivoihu, ne makra v'yitar. So we'll say, if that's the case, that the Kohen was obligated to wait for the next day for the sun to rise and ultimately again to bring his carbon, it should have said v'yitar, my v'taher. What does it mean v'taher? Taher yoma. It means ultimately again what? That the day will be done. I will say if taher was going on the individual, that it should have been phrased as a tzivui, as a command, v'yitar, and the Kohen shall purify himself. V'taher is a de facto statement. It's going on what? It's going on the day itself. Uba Hashemesh, the sun will set, v'taher, and the day will fundamentally conclude. So the Gemara says, "My v'taher, tar yom." Kida amri inshi, like people often say, "Arav shimsha v'idki yoma." The sun has gone down, and the day has finished. So I will say, amazingly enough, so just a little meaning. The ikar over here is not the Kohanim, right? I mean, no offense, right? The ikar is always the Kohanim, right? But the idea over here is the Mishnah is coming to teach me that the Zman for Kriya Shema says HaKohavim. But just tangentially, the Gemara is teaching me another halacha, which is that when a Kohen becomes Tamei, in order to eat Truma, what does he need? He needs to go to the mikvah that day, wait for the sun to go down, right, for nightfall to occur, then he can eat Truma. Even though what? He still has an outstanding karbanic obligation on his shoulders. He is still permitted to go ahead and eat Truma that night. Why? Uba Hashemesh v'taher. And we'll say, what's ultimately, again, so what's the meaning of that pasuk? Uba Hashemesh v'taher is ultimately the sun will set. V'taher is not going on the person. V'taher means what? The day is totally done. Well, so I'll just tell you, there's a beautiful concept that's brought down by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that before reciting Kiddush on Friday night, a person should recite the phrase, Uba Hashemesh V'taher. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, that phrase has another deeper meaning. Uba Hashemesh, as soon as the sun goes down and the day is over, V'taher. A brand new day begins. A brand new day begins. And that brand new day begins in a state of tara. Whatever I did yesterday, the tumah of yesterday, Rabosai, does not follow me into today. I would posit, not that I'm one to be Moshe on the Baal Shem Tov, I think we should say it every day. Every day. Uba Hashemesh, yesterday was yesterday. The mess-ups of yesterday, the mistakes of yesterday are yesterday. Uba Hashemesh, as soon as the sun goes down and the day ends, V'taher. I'm a new person, new beginning, new tarab. Ma'arava. So the Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael, Hadra'ab Rav Shila, lo shimi yavu. So we'll say in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't hear this drasha Rabbah Rav Shila. And instead they said as follows. Uboi le mi boi hai. Instead they asked the following question. So we'll say, do we say that when the Pasuk says Uba Hashemesh means the setting of the sun, Umay b'taher. What does taher mean? Taher, I'm supposed to say in Eretz Yisrael, they're having the same discussion. They didn't hear the drasha rabba Rav Shila. So they're going through the same motions. When the pasuk says Ba Shemesh v'taher, what does that mean? Ba Shemesh, does that, we assume that means what? The setting of the sun. And what does taher mean? That the day is totally complete. Odilma, maybe it means something different. Bias the odilma, bias orahu, umay b'taher, taher gavra. But say ultimately again, maybe Uba Shemesh means what? Not the setting of the sun, but what? The rising of the sun. Right? Maybe Uba Shemesh ultimately means the sun is rising. Vitaher means, and the Kohen becomes Tar. And what does the Prophet say? You understand, by the way, how the interpretation is dramatically different. If you understand Uba Shemesh means the sun is setting, Vitaher means the day is done. That means that what? A Kohen could eat Truma when? When? At night. Even though he has an outstanding carbonic liability. If, on the other hand, you say Uba Shemesh means the sun is rising, Vitaher, and that's when the coin becomes tar, what that says is he needs to wait for the new day to dawn, and what? Bring his carbon, and only then can he go ahead and eat his truma. So the Gemara says, V'hadr pashta me'raisa, and they answered from a braisa, Midikani b'braisa, simen l'davar tseisa kochavim. The simen Abel say, ultimately, I guess, what's the simen Uba Shemesh Vitaher? That's referring to tseisa kochavim. Shmamina, Bias Shmashahu. But say ultimately again, if we understand Uba Shemesh means ultimately again the setting of the sun. Umay b'taher, taher yoma. Taher, but say interestingly enough, amazing enough, before you would see this Gemara, you would never think to translate the pasuk that way. I think all of us would instinctively assume Uba Shemesh, the sun sets, v'taher, refers to the Kohen. Now the Gemara says, no. Uba Shemesh means the sun goes down. Vitaher means the day is complete. The day is done. It almost means as if, like, the day is cleansed of light. Which means, what? I will say, what does that mean? Only Jews speak this way, right? The day is cleansed of light. What does that mean? Oh, it's nighttime, right? Ba Shemesh Vitaher means the sun goes down. We reach a state of Tseisa Kochavim. The Kohen went to the mikvah by day. He's permitted to eat the truma that night, even though what? Even though what? He still has an outstanding what? Outstanding carbonic liability. Good. I will say, just, I know, but towards the end of the trip, people begin to peel out. We're gonna go until about 8:50 because just we have to, we're occupying, we're kind of like squatters over here for the 9 o'clock minion. I will say, just don't leave until the end because I do want to share with you an incredible insight by Reb Tzedek HaKohen. I should have really given this at the beginning of the Masechta, but I'll do it at the end of today's share. Shabbos say, let's continue. So the Gemara goes like that. Amar Mar. Shabbos said, now we're going to see a variety of different opinions ultimately again about, well, let's see. Amar Mar. Misha Shakaram Nechasan Lechob Trumasan. So remember again, the Mishnah says, when can you begin to say nighttime Shema? From the time that the Kohanim go ahead and eat their truma. So the Gemara says, or Minhu, is that true? We have another Braisa. What does the Braisa say? Me'ima Sai Kohanim Shema Ba'arben. Rabbi said, just as an aside, sure many of you have seen, Art Scroll just came out with a new introductory volume to Gemara, which explains the background of Gemara. Gemara, Mishnah, Braises, all different Toseftos, Tanoim, Amoraim. It's excellent. It's excellent. And it'll give you a brand new appreciation of Gemara. Because a lot of times we say things like a Braisa, like a Mishnah, but often we don't necessarily know the distinctions between them. It's a little bit beyond our scope over here to get that done on the time. But I will say again, introductory volume. I don't get a cut from this. I just want to be clear. Anyway, I will say it's Kedai. It'll open your eyes in such a dramatic way. Because even if you have a yeshiva education, the truth is, chances are, especially if you have a yeshiva education, right? You know nothing about Mishnayis Gemara. You know Mishnayis. You probably memorize like loads of Mishnayis. But what a Mishnah is, what a Brais is, what a Tosefta is, who Tanarmar, who Amaroimar. So I'll say that's for other people to learn. That's not for yeshiva guys to learn. I'll say, but you'll see, it's incredible. Says the Gemara. Or Minu, raise a Braisa. Me'emos ikonish Shema Ba'arvin. From when can you go ahead and say Shema at night? Misha ani nichnas lechol pito b'melach. So I'll say, when can you begin to say nighttime Shema? From the time that an ani, that a poor person, goes in to eat his bread with salt. That's the beginning time for Shema. Then I will say, now what does this mean? What does this mean? So we'll say, so we'll see, look at Rashi, Misha Ani. It's in the short lines of Rashi, about three lines. Misha Ani, She'en lo ner l'hadlik b'sudaso. Then I will say, now the assumption is someone who's very poor does not necessarily have candles with which to illuminate his home. As such, he goes ahead and he dafka eats, it appears, when there's some level of light. That's the Havamina. I will say, you know, the Gemara says, we're going to see this, actually, Misachas Brachas, that part of the eating experience is seeing what you eat. That's why the Gemara says a summa, a blind person, is never satiated, is never sated, right? Never has the full effect. We know this. Part of the eating experience is the presentation. So the Gemara says over here, when can you begin to say Shema? From the time that an ani, a poor person, goes in to eat his bread with some salt. So we'll see what this means. So the Gemara says, Atsha, sha'omid liftar mitoch sudaso, until the time, ultimately, again, when he gets up, when he's finished with his sudut. Shabbosai is a dramatically different idea from our Mishnah, to which the Gemara says, Seifa vaday pliga, amasnisin. Reisha milema pliga, amasnisin. Shabbosai, one thing is clear. The second part of this braisa certainly argues on our Mishnah. Why? Because this idea that the time for nighttime Shema ends when the ani gets up from his suda, that definitely argues on our Mishnah. The Shaila is, does the first part argue the Mishnah? So remember, the Brice is advancing now another opinion. The second opinion says, when can you begin to say nighttime Shema as of? As of when? From the time that the Ani goes in to eat his meal, his nighttime meal. So is that Tisak Kochavim? Is that early Tisak Kochavim? So let's analyze. So the Gemara says, lo, Ani v'koin chachir. So both sides wish. The Gemara says, no, Ani and Koin is one shear. Good news. Just a different way, Chazal saying the same thing. An Ani, even an Ani, only eats at Tesach Kochavim, only eats at nightfall, and therefore again, ani and coin is one shear. All right. Or minu, ask another kasha. Me'ema say maschil mikros kriyashon ba'arvis. From what point in time can you begin to say the nighttime Shema? Misha shebenei adam nichnasen lechol piton ba'arvis shabasos. Div Rabbi Meir. So we'll see another opinion now. When can you begin to say the nighttime Shema? From the time that people go in to eat their meals on Erev Shabbos. And Rabbah say, now what's the chapa there of Shabbos? Rashi says, Be'arvi Shabbosos, Memarin Lasuda, everyone goes quickly to eat. Why? Shakol Mizum Muchan. Because let's remember again, you sit down to the meal on Erev Shabbos, on Shabbos night, with very little preparation. Why? Because everything has to be prepared beforehand. Shabbi Meir says, that when can you begin to say nighttime Shema? As of the time that people go in to eat their meal on Friday night. Okay? Chachamim say, ultimately, again, no, you can begin to say nighttime Shema as of when? From the time that the Kohanim go in to eat their Truma. Simin ledavar, and they both say, what time do the Kohanim go in to eat their Truma? Seisa Kohanim. The Afapi, so both say, this Bryce just expands on the Mishnah a little bit. If Afapi Shein Raya ledavar, Zeicha ledavar. And even though there is no Raya, in other words, they both say, we don't have an explicit pasuk that tells us that the Zman for nighttime for nighttime Shema is Seis. But interestingly enough, we do find the scriptural allusion. What's the scriptural allusion? Quoting the pasuk over here from Nehemiah, Va'anachnu osim b'malacha, v'chetzia machazikim b'ramachim. So Bosse, the Navi Nehemiah is describing over here, we did our work, and half of us, chetzia machazikim b'ramachim, half of us were holding spears to stand guard. Me'alos ha'shachar at Seis ha'kochavim. And when did we work? We worked from dawn, alos ha-shachar, until tseis ha-kochavim. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The next pasuk in Nehemiah says, v'haya lanu halayla mishmar, v'hayom l'malacha. And at night we stood guard, and by day we worked. So we'll say, what do we get out of this pasuk? What do you get out of this pasuk? You get a definition of day. What's the definition of day, Rabosai? What's the definition of day? From alos until tseis ha-kochavim. So we'll say, if that's the definition of day, so what does that tell you? When does nighttime begin? After Tesach Kochavim. So we'll say, even though I don't have a pasuk in the Torah that tells me that Tesach Kochavim is the beginning of night, what I do have are two psukim of Nehemiah. Nehemiah telling us that we're working from dawn, alos, until Tesach Kochavim. Another pasuk telling me we're working the entire day. I put those two psukim together, and what do I get? I get a working definition of day. The definition of day is from alos, from dawn, ultimately, again, until Tseis HaKochavim, until nightfall. My Va'omer, so what do you mean Va'omer? Maybe you would say, you know, maybe nighttime is after sunset. Right? So maybe sunset is really nighttime. And these people working in this pasuk in Nehemiah, they were just working later. They just worked past nightfall. And ultimately, again, they began work before daybreak. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, v'haya lanu halayla mishmar, v'hayom alacha. So we'll say, ultimately, again, therefore the pasuk Nehemiah comes along and says, Nehemiah says, no, no, no. We worked by day, and we stood guard at night. So therefore, Nehemiah gives us a definition of day. The definition of day ultimately, again, is from dawn up until Tzeis HaKochavim. Therefore, again, the beginning time for nighttime Shema B'Shach Becha is going to be as of when? Tzeis HaKochavim. Tashma. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Good. Thank you. Da'ani ubnei Adam chachiru. So now remember, we've got a lot of shitos flying around over here. So we've got Mishasha Kohanim Nechnasin Lechol B'Tshumasan. Right? We have the time that the Kohanim go ahead. The time that the Kohanim go ahead and walk in to eat their truma, that we know is seis. Now we also have a time when the ani goes in to eat his bread with salt. And we also have the time that people go to sit down to eat their meal on Friday night. So I might have thought that again, the time that the ani goes in to eat his meal and the time that people sit down on Erev Shabbos is the same time. So if you say that the time of the ani, when he goes down to eat, and the time to come and eat their truma is one shear, then Chachamim Hainu Rabbi Meir. Chachamim Rabbi Meir is saying the same thing. Rather, it must be the time that the ani goes in to eat his bread and the time that the Kohanim go to eat truma must be two different times. Because remember, again, they're being recorded as two distinct opinions, to which the Gemara says, lo, ani v'koin chat shiuruhu. Ultimately, again, about the time that the ani goes to eat his bread and the time that Kohanim go to eat the truma after being tame is in fact one time period. However, ani ubnei adam lav chad shiuruhu. But I will say ultimately again, ani and bnei adam, ultimately again, is not one shear. The time that the ani goes in to go ahead and eat his food, and the time ultimately again that people go to eat their Friday night meal is not the same shear. So I will say, here's what we have. Here's what we know. What I know is, when do Kohanim go in to eat their truma? Tzeis HaKochavim. Right, that I know. And that's the idea espoused in the Mishnah. The Brisos are now adding in more opinions. Right, when can you begin to say nighttime Shema? From the time ultimately again that the ani goes to sit down and eat his bread. From the time ultimately again that people eat their meal on Shabbos night. So we'll say the conclusion that the Gemara has reached is, we know when the Kohanim go in to eat their truma, that's Tzeis. But this idea is to when an ani goes to sit down versus when people sit down to eat their Shabbos meal, those are two different time frames. So Bosai, we'll stop over here for today in the Gemara. We will pick up Emir Tzashem with this sugya Torah. Bosai, but let me just end off with one incredible piece. Well, just to those of you, first of all, an incredible schus to have all of you here. Such an incredible zechus. I will say, so Emir Tzashem, we continue 5:45 tomorrow morning with Mesilas Yisharim. The daf begins itself at 5:55. So I'll just tell you something amazing. The Reb Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin, in his Sefer Tzidkas HaTzadik, says something amazing. He points out, and many of the Sram point this out, that the first mitzvah that a bar mitzvah bachar, the first mitzvah, it's not just a bar mitzvah bachar, that a boy or a girl, when they reach the age of adulthood, the first mitzvah they have is Kriyash Mashal Arvis. Kriyash Mashal Arvis. So the underlying question is, why does Shas begin with Me'emasai Kohen Shema Ba'arvin? Why is this like the first topic of Torah Shabbat? I must remember again, we've just had this chus to begin the first daf of Torah Shabbat. Why is this the first topic? So the simple answer is, because this is the first mitzvah that a Jew is obligated in when you reach the age of adulthood. Right? The boy becomes a bar mitzvah, a girl becomes a bas mitzvah. Remember again, you become a bar mitzvah since when? At night. Right? That's the beginning of the calendrical day. So therefore, the first mitzvah that a boy or girl has when they reach the age of majority is Kriyash Shema Shel Arvis. Right? That's the first mitzvah. Okay, this is Mitzvah Seish Hazman Grama. So I'll doubt for the girl. But that's the first mitzvah that you could fulfill as a gadol. So Reb Tzadok says, why? Why is it that the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu structured things, that the first mitzvah I do in my adult life is Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis? And listen to the words of Reb Tzadok. We'll say this is mamish in the beginning of Tzidkas HaTzadik. It's incredible. In Sif Dalet, he says something amazing. He says, because Dibereisha Chashucha Tzarech Kabbalas Olmachu Shamayim Af Mitol Chachoshech Vasichlos Vahedra Masin. So we'll say, what is Kriyas Shema? Kriyas Shema is Kabbalas Olmachu Shamayim. It is the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. It's saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I am committed to you. I am committed to you. I am yours because I know you are mine. I know there are many expectations and many realities and many challenges and many difficulties, but I am yours. And I will say, what is Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? It represents the ability to be Mekabel Omach Hushamayim, to accept a relationship with God Ba'arvis at night. Night represents difficulty. Night represents adversity. Night represents challenge. The first mitzvah we do in our adult lives is Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. I am not going to be a fair weather friend to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But rather, again, I am yours when it's Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, when the sun's out and everything is beautiful and everything is wonderful. And I am yours when it's Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Therefore, I will say, you know how the Rebbe Tzaddik reads the opening line of the Mishnah? You know, the beautiful part of being a Rebbe is you could put punctuation wherever you want. So how does the opening Mishnah read? Me'emasai koin eshma. When is the most important time to say Shema? Be'arvin. Be'arvin. The greatest accomplishment of the Jew is Kabbalas Amach Hushamayim, his dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Be'arvin. Even when life is difficult. It's easy to feel close to God when everything in life is going your way and you have all you want and all the pieces are in place. But that's not the true test of a relationship. The true test, Me'emasai Koin Shema? When can you see the true nature of your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Be'arvin. When life is difficult, when there's adversity, and you're still able to maintain that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bosei, that's what we aspire to. And Bosei, today is our first daf of Maseches Brachos. And today is the exciting day. You know, today it's got like that new Talmud Bavli smell, right? Everything is fantastic. It also helps that it's 8 o'clock in the morning, right? So it's Baksha. And there's an excitement, right? There's no see, this is that. So we'll see, you know, at a certain point in time, Arvin sets in. There's responsibilities, there's this. So we'll say, our avoda. Don't think about it 7.5 years. Just today, tomorrow, me'emasai koron shema. So we'll say, what truly tests the nature of your commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Not the ability to say Shema B'Shachris. Not the ability to show up and to be committed when it's easy and when it's convenient. But it's Be'arvin. Even when things are difficult and challenging as well. We began Maseches Brachos together. I look forward to Mirat Hashem to continuing the journey with all of you tomorrow and in the days to come. Yashar Koach for making the commitment. Whether your commitment is for today, whether your commitment is for the Masechta, whether your commitment is for Shas, that's between you and me. That's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever your commitment is. But I will say, I just want to tell you what a privilege it is to be along with you on this journey for however long your journey takes you. Maybe Zochem Yiras Hashem to get ourselves to the level to say Shema B'Shachris, but more importantly, to find the ability to say Shema B'Arvin as well. Shkoyach. Yeah.